Blog Talk Radio.
Around quarter to five, 4:50 in the afternoon, our time, 3:50 in the afternoon, Midwest time, or should I say Central Standard Time, we found out what it was going to be. You know, as the judge, and I give it to him, once they decided to read the verdict, they didn't bullshit. They didn't mess around the way I thought that they would. I thought that they were going to have a whole lot of anticipation reading the counts and the verdict slow. He ran right through them. Second degree murder, guilty. Third degree murder, guilty. Second degree manslaughter, guilty. And I was like, he's reading it. I'm like, I'm reading it with my mom. She's sitting next to me. I'm like, "Mom, you hear this shit?" And he keeps saying guilty. Is guilty another word for innocent? Is guilty another a different word for innocent in another language? What kind of language he speaking? And I'm looking at Derek Chauvin, and he just like, I'm wondering if it was because he had the mask on that we couldn't see any emotion. Because all we saw was like, I'm going to throw my mask on. Let's see here. If maybe y'all can't see my emotion. On account of second degree murder. On account of second degree murder, guilty. Third degree murder, guilty. Second degree manslaughter. I don't know, man. I feel like people can still see my emotions when I have a mask on. It's just like, I would have been like, so I was on my way home before they read the verdict. They closed down businesses early, especially public businesses like townhouse, not townhouses, town halls or public buildings like city halls and state buildings and city buildings and things like that. They closed all those things down early, and the police were out in force since Saturday because they wanted to prepare themselves for rioting and looting and violence just in case the verdict was guilty, which is proof that many of us really believe that the verdict was going to be guilty. What's going on with Carol Chamber? Let me five reach us. So glad to see ya. And Emily Dunlap is in the house. Wow, she about to turn it out. Charlene Curry. What's going on, Charlene? How you feeling, Charlene? Good to see me. So but yeah, y'all. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I was prepared for, if not a not guilty, because I was definitely prepared for a not guilty. But if nothing else, I was at least prepared for, all right, they got him on third degree murder, or they got him on the manslaughter charge, but they didn't have enough balls to go for the second degree. What I was a little stumped on was like, if you get the biggest charge, which is second degree murder, do you even need the third degree murder in the manslaughter? I wasn't sure about that. Did you need both in order to have the conviction that you needed? I guess that getting the three counts being guilty altogether would have a greater impact on sentencing. So I guess it would be hard to say that. I guess it would be hard to not impose a stiffer sentence. I'm not ready to say that he's going to get the maximum sentence, because I still don't believe that he will. But this says a lot towards getting a much stiffer penalty than we may have previously thought that he was going to get. If you're guilty on all counts, I thought maybe they would see him, guilty of third degree murder, but innocent of second degree murder. I thought maybe they'd give him one count. So maybe we would get like 10 years out of the deal. This cat going to be going to jail for a minute. And he was out on bail, y'all. He was out on bail. So now because he's been convicted, no more bail. His bail is revoked. He'll be spending the night in jail tonight. And for the rest of the nights that in his foreseeable future, he's going to do some years. Ain't no getting around that. He's going to do some years. So I was like, what in the hell we got here? What do we have here? All right, let's get it popping, y'all. Urban Therapy with Sun 752 edition. Daily. Go get a business show. We can do this every single day. Every day it rains. every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. We break it down, baby. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. I'm your host, Sun 752, a.k.a. Omar with the rrrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrrr, well, then you just say Omar with the R. So daily, go get him in the show. Tonight on this Pretty Petty Tuesday, last day of Aries. Aries, y'all had a nice little run, but it's over. Tomorrow, Taurus will be kicking the dough, waving the fo-fo. So, guilty on all three counts. Guilty. Guilty as charged. Like, yo. Now, tell me the truth, y'all. Shirley Show, the world's most precious pearl, just popped in. What's going on, Shirley Show, the world's most precious pearl in the world? And Cherry Cherry Dana Dana Cinderella Dana Dane. Well, it's the woman Dana Dane with fame. What's going on, Dana Dane? And also Magnificent Morocco, my man. Magnificent Morocco. And Magnificent Morocco said something significant. He said, the looters can't loot now. You know what, Morocco? I really want to know if they were going to loot in the first place. I ain't going to lie, man. There was actually a part of me that wanted to see. I wanted to see if they were going to loot. But they didn't. And you're right. They won't have a chance to. But I also thought of something else, Magnificent Morocco. What if the white supremacists decided to loot? Like, fuck that. We looted the Capitol building this year. Why shouldn't we loot the streets? There could have been backlash on both sides. There could have been things that were going to happen on both sides that we would have had to anticipate. This was not a slam dunk by any proportions. This is monumental. But I don't know if this premiere, this introduction, this primary conviction. Never done before in history. A white police officer has never, ever been convicted of killing a black person. Ever. Not even close. Not even close. Video notwithstanding, it has never been a factor. It has never mattered. Now it matters. You know, before they read the verdict, you saw all of those people in the Minneapolis, outside of the Minneapolis courthouse. And I was wondering, like, what are they going to do if it's not guilty? Like, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? Nothing they do is going to change the verdict on the inside, but what are they going to do? What would people in Chicago do? What were people in Philadelphia going to do? I know what the cops were doing. They were out in force. You should have saw them speeding around through the city. Yeah, I'm thinking like, did they start rioting already? And I'm not going to lie. I don't think that it was. I never thought we should have rioted. Like, I don't know, man. If you want to riot for something, you got to riot for local injustices. I can't riot for something that happened in Minnesota. I just can't do it. I can't riot here. I can support them wherever they are, but I can't riot here. Like, how am I going to justify that shit? Like, what do my people here have to do with what happened over there? Kerry Khan says, BLM is white people. I don't even know if you're trolling, but you're actually right. It is white people. BLM is fortified with white people and white support. When you saw the protest last year over Breonna Taylor, over George Floyd, you saw white people in droves. And if you really think about it, if you seriously think about it, the capitalistic aspect of Black Lives Matter would never have come into fruition had it not been for white people. If there weren't white people in there funding that thing and promoting it and making sure that it gets the type of media push that it wants. And don't forget the, not just white people, but don't forget the LGBTQ. Do not forget the LGBTQ, because they all about that Black Lives Matter thing. So there's a lot going on. But hold on, he says Stephen Jackson, George Floyd, what's that, a PSYOP? I don't know. Psych-op, I don't know. Using deep fake Democrat, okay, I see where you're going. So you are a troll. Okay, Democrat governors, Democrat actors, Chauvin is an actor. It's all a movie, like O.J. Simpson. Nicole Simpson is Megyn Kelly. Okay. All right. He says, I'm not trolling. Okay. Well, you have some interesting views. And it's funny because I know people who think the way that you do, but I can't get into all that street theater shit because street theater angle keeps failing. It does. It keeps failing. Like, street theater enthusiasts keep saying it's the same people at every mass shooting, but it's not the same people at every mass shooting. There are also different people at every mass shooting. Now, if it was the exact same people at every mass shooting, okay. But if you think about it, there's the same journalists at every mass shooting. There are same broadcasters, same networks at every mass shooting. So there are different ways to look at this. Much different ways to look at this. So, you know, thinking that all of this is street theater and these are all street actors, I don't know. But you don't have, if you want to do your thing in the chat, that's one thing. But you can call into the show. Call 319-527-6199. Press number one. And that will let me know that you would like to speak, and I will let you get your shit off verbally. Like, you know what I mean? If you can talk as good as you can write or as fast as you can write, 319-527-6199. And that goes for anybody who would like to call into the show. If you have a question or a comment, or you just want to vent, or you feel good about what happened, or you feel terrible about what happened, don't hesitate to call in. You know, give it up. 319-527-6199. Press number one. When you press number one, you should hear, you are now in the host queue. If you don't hear, you are now in the host queue, then it won't throw up the signal, and I'll think that you're just listening in. And that's fine for you to do. Okay, so, like I said, you know, I'm not sure if this is going to be symbolic of a new wave of justice. I don't know. What I do know is that this has never happened before. We saw Rodney King get his brains beat in. He got his head beat in. Rest in peace to Rodney King. By the way, was street theater a thing when Rodney King got beat? Was that a thing? Or was Rodney King real? By the way, peace to Sucre Jetois. Sucre JTX, how you feeling? My good to see me. Some of you, thanks for coming on through. Yeah, did street theater just come out when we started having mass killings, mass murders, or was 1992 too early? Like, maybe we didn't have, maybe there was no such thing as mass murders, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, maybe there was no such thing as street theater. When did street theater come out? When did we start faking people being dead? You know, fake gunshots, you know. Like, are the gunshots real? Or are we using blanks? Kerry Khan says, I want to speak. All right, call in, 319-527-6199. 319-527-6199. Come on. Oh, he said Rodney King. Oh, Rodney King was fake too. Oh, okay. Well, the line is open. You know? So Martin Luther King is Don King. Okay. All right. I think maybe you're getting a little bit too much attention here. All right. So I want to know what y'all think, man. When I was on my way home, it took me almost a half an hour to get 6 blocks from my home. It almost made me get 6 blocks. I mean, it almost took me a half an hour to get 6 blocks. They had blocked off major arteries, major arterial streets in my neighborhood, so people couldn't travel the way that they wanted to, but they wanted to make sure that businesses were protected. They wanted to make sure that people, I don't know if they were interested in people being protected, like as far as the violence was concerned. But you can best believe since this past weekend, the police force had an awful lot of overtime, getting a lot of money because we didn't know when the verdict was going to come down. And my job, where I work, they closed early. Like, nah, we going, you know. We gonna shut this down because we don't want to chance anybody getting hurt. We don't want to see anybody be fearful or anything like that. So you know how that goes. Carol Chamberlain says they found a man beat to death this morning in Center City. We have to do better, my people. Carol, we'll talk about that later because, yeah, I know about that situation. It was that was an interesting situation. There's more to that than you can even imagine. But, yeah, we'll talk about that later. You know, yeah, I got a little insider info about that. But we ain't gwine do that. Kerry Khan, I'm not reading any more of your comments. I'm literally not reading any more of them because I have a platform here. You can call into the show. I'm not going to call into your show. You're on my show, so you want to speak? Call in. Other than that, you're just rabble-rousing around my people and, you know. Listen, we've dealt with trolls before. We know all about this. So, you know, I mean, y'all can play together nice if y'all want to. But I know that there was a lot of preparation that went in to the anticipation of this verdict. I mean, it was crazy. I'm seeing police cars racing from here and there. I live in Philly, and we know when a cop gets killed or shot or whatever, you see police officers racing from here to there. We never know what's going on, but we see that police activity and a whole lot of confusion and fast driving and sirens and people getting pulled over and suspects being accosted on the streets and all of that. So I'm watching this whole thing and I'm thinking like, did we get our fill of looting and rioting last year? Because even with that, it seemed a little excessive, and it seemed very, very organized. It was like nothing. I've never seen organized looting before. Like, all right, first we're going to hit this and then we're going to hit that. Like, we've never done that before. There was definitely a different force in charge of the whole looting process last year. So I was wondering, did we do that this year? And for those of y'all who know, who have been following this case, you know, Maxine Waters had a lot to say about the case. And also the President of the United States actually intervened which made it a lot different. You know, like the last president wouldn't have done anything like that. And I was wondering if that was going to have any impact on the trial or the outcome, or maybe they knew something that we didn't. We still have a lot to explore with this case. I see that we have a caller on the line. Caller with the last numbers 9061. Welcome to the Daily Go Get 'Emism Show. Thank you for holding. What's on your mind this evening?
Thanks for letting me talk, brother. I just had a few questions I want to ask you. My name is Tarhaka, and I'm calling from Florida. Thank you. My question to you is, what do you think is the solution to the problem of police, Caucasian police officers murdering our people in the street? What do you think is the solution?
Well, you know, brother, I'm glad you asked.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, is that the end of your question? I don't want to cut you off.
Well, that's the end. Go ahead.
Okay. I don't think that there really is a solution more than there is more symbolism of the problem. And there are many problems that come along with our brothers and our sisters being murdered by white police officers. It's symbolic of years of white supremacy and a little bit of white hate. And there's a difference between white supremacy and white hate. And I think that we need to distinguish the differences between the two, because when we encounter one or the other, we may mistake one for being the other, and they may have nothing to do with each other. See, what we're dealing with black people is we're dealing with a history of miseducation. We're dealing with a history of lack of opportunities or inequities in opportunities. And we're dealing with a history of being put second or put last or being insignificant. You know, us coming out of slavery and then having to go through Jim Crow and the mental slavery that followed actual slavery that we still have today makes us feel like we are inferior. So because we are so used to being quote unquote in the struggle, we have every reason to fear law enforcement and the legal system, because we don't think that we'll ever get a fair share or fair shake, I should say. And I'm sorry I'm taking a long way of saying this, but the points that I'm making are important in the long run. When we don't believe that we can do better ourselves or that we are going to get a chance to compete fairly in any situation that we're in, then it carries over into that energy carries over into the other race or races that believe that they are superior to us. So they have been taught that they are superior. We have been taught that we are inferior, and neither one of us are right. We are not inferior, and they are not superior. And it really shouldn't be an issue. But what we really have is we have a system of power in this country, and the white people have had it since Christopher Columbus came over here and slaughtered the indigenous peoples of the Americas. So when you take that history and you have a history and you infuse a history of superiority and the good old boy system, and then you pit that up against a system of inferiority and enslavement and illiteracy, lack of education, lack of the ability to explore, move around, research and things like that. That's part of what we get today. No value for black human life. No value. White people don't value our lives, and many of us don't value our lives in comparison to white people. We value our lives in comparison to each other, But in comparison to white people, there are many of us who actually believe that white people are superior and that they have the upper hand. If the Trump administration didn't show us anything, it showed us how we will get on the side of the enemy and defend that position and calling other people wrong for doing that. So if you're asking where do I think that system in history of police brutality will end, it won't end until we end it ourselves. We cannot expect the legal system to end it for us. And when you really think about it, my brother, we shouldn't expect the legal system to end it for us because if we are involved in the legal system, it's already too late. Do you understand what I mean by that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm listening to every word you say.
Yeah. Yeah. If we have to go to court for something, then we've already missed the boat because we should be getting what we need up front. If we have to go to court for it, that means that we are either fighting for fighting to stay out of jail or fighting to put somebody in jail. It's already too late. We have to be able to avoid the being in the legal system. That's what we as a people have to learn how to do. And no, we're not going to be able to do that by being complacent. We're not going to be able to do that by being obedient. And we're not going to be able to do that by being overly aggressive and putting ourselves in a position where they could lock us down and lock us up and impose martial law on us. No, we don't want that. We have to learn to come together. We have to learn how to unite, but we have to have a common cause. Black people have to get ourselves together to believe in one central theme. We don't necessarily have to all think identically, but we have to know it and agree on something that we want. We're getting a little closer to it. We're inching closer to it. People don't really think that what happened on November 3rd of 2020 was significant. But it was. Just like the bus boycott in Montgomery, Alabama showed the bus company and the financial institutions of Alabama that they showed them what power black people hold. They shut down the transportation system and built a transportation system of their own. Black people in Montgomery, Alabama were the first Uber. They were the first Uber. They just didn't know what they had, and they wind up giving it back. Well, what if we learn to get it and keep it? Montgomery, Alabama was the first that was Uber. They called, they carpooled, they supported each other, and they could have actually taken over the bus company. They were already doing it, but they were doing it in response. What if we did things proactively? When we show the world what we can really do, we have to also stick to the script. We have to get to the point where we say, listen, not only are we coming to get it, but when we get it, we're holding on to it, and nobody is taking it away from us this time. We have yet to do that. But on November 3rd of 2020, black people got together to vote. Now, of course, black people have gotten together to vote before, but I don't think that they voted with a purpose like they did this time. And, you know, and I've heard a lot of black people say, well, you know, all they wanted to do was get rid of Donald Trump. They weren't even concerned about the issues and stuff like that. Well, the issue was Donald Trump and his policies. I'm sorry. They were saying that, you know, all they wanted to do was get rid of Donald Trump. They weren't concerned about the policies and things like that. Well, you don't know every black person to be able to say that, but I understand what you meant by it. But getting him out was a policy in and of itself. if you want to get rid of the man and his policies, then you come together, you vote, and you do it, and you get it done that way. We had never done that before, but at least we did have a central theme and a central goal that we accomplished. Peace, Queen Matu Maini. But yeah, so my brother, I don't know if I did a very good job of answering your question, but yeah, I don't know what we can do about the police brutality situation. I don't think that police brutality will ever end until we do something about it, collectively. We may have to do something like create our own police force, or, you know, sort of like the Guardian Angels did in the 1980s. You know, there are things that you can do. There are things that we can do, but we have to think outside the box. We have to be serious, and we have to be organized.
Well, could I tell you about a little true story that happened down here where we are?
Absolutely.
I'm not here in Jacksonville, Florida. We had a situation in an area called the Blodgett Homes.
Okay.
And everybody that lived in that area looked just like me and you. However, anytime there was a problem, we had this one Caucasian cop that would come out to squash the situation. And he had a habit of macing people, beating up on people with his baton, kicking people, slapping women. All this right here went on for quite some time. However, one day, a phone call was placed down to the sheriff's department. There's another domestic disturbance in the Blodgett home. And here he come. But this time, when he stepped out the car to go do his thing, everybody heard a crack from a high-powered rifle from two city blocks away. And hit him in the head and blew his brains out. It hit him so hard, he flipped across the hood of the car and his shoes came off his feet.
Get out of here.
And for 2 years straight, there was peace in the valley.
Wow.
Now, that happened down here in real life. And they went and pounded the pavement and shook a few people up. And somebody started running their mouth about who they thought did it. And they just went and arrested the wrong man. But the brother that they arrested, he went all the way through the little court system and all the way through. They gave him the death penalty, and they put him to death. But they never did get the shooter.
Okay.
So one thing I learned a long time ago, anytime you got a bully, and that bully is steady doing the same thing to you, until you stop him, he going to keep on doing it. But when you stop him, he may bully other people, but ain't going to bully you no more.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely correct about the collective situation, because in 1972, me and my crew, we took to the theater in the streets, but we end up with an entire North Side community, and we still got it today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after that whooping, what they did was, you can't go on the computer and type it up and bring it out, but what you can do, you can go on a microfiche and type in the Rebolt Riots of 1972 Florida, and then you can find it.
You're taking it all the way back to microfiche. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, that's where they put it at, because they don't like to show you the real whoopings and from the real people. Because I'm not, first of all, I'm not the same as everybody. I'll admit I have a little advantage over a lot of people. I was trained by special people that came out the military. And I have skill. So my thinking is different. I'm not a black man, not a Negro, not a colored. I'm a Moa. And I was born one. come from the family of Moors. And back when they had the Ku Klux Klan went around our land. They didn't come through there. Great-grandfather, he had 12 sons, and what them boys would do when they see them coming through the woods on them horses, they'll flip the jacket behind their back so they can see them shooting eyes, and they keep on moving. And the governor told them, whatever you do, do not go on the land of the Moors down there. Don't go on Brother Moore land. Don't ever go down there. So all this stuff, you know, about the Ku Klux Klan and all that, you know, but anyway, I just wanted to ask you what, you know, your take on it. You're a young man, and the situations that I'm talking about, I can go on and on and on telling you the same solution to the same problem, and it worked like a charm for us every time. Not so.
I hear that.
But that's all I wanted to do, my brother.
Well, my brother, let me tell you something. I appreciate you calling in here tonight. You are a breath of fresh air. And I like to hear Southerners talk like you, really. Because I know for a fact that there is a Southern history of rebellion that does not get talked about enough. You know, whether you're talking about the Deacons for Defense or whoever. You understand what I mean? You know, I get so tired. I get so tired of history, even word of mouth history, trying to make it sound like our brothers and sisters from the South just laid down and died at the hands of the slave master and master. I know it wasn't like that, because if it was like that, we would have never made it. There's no way we could ever be standing right here, and we would have never made it to the North if our brothers and sisters in the South didn't do what they needed to do in order to stay alive. And they didn't stay alive just boot licking and kissing ass and being complacent and submissive. There's no way. I know that we fought back. You know, a lot of young people. By the way, I don't know if you know how old I am, my brother. I'm 50 years old. I may sound a little younger, but no, I'm not a young man. I'm 50 years old. I'll be 51 in August. But
I thought you was about in your 30s.
No. I got a few good ones under me, you know. But like you were talking about how you've been trained by some special people. I've been trained in a different way, maybe not militaristically, but I've been trained socially by some good people who let me know the real. So I know the power that our people hold. I get it, and that's why I'm patient. I know that there are plenty of us waiting to do something great, waiting to be something great. They know the greatness that is within us, that's just waiting for us to come out. So, you know, there's a difference between fighting on the front lines and fighting in the trenches. The people who are fighting on the front lines get a lot of the fanfare. I'm not saying that they're not doing a lot of work or that they don't deserve the credit that they get, because they do deserve that. But those are the ones who are visible. Those are the people who marched in the civil rights movement and people who are running around screaming Black Lives Matter and things like that. They are fighting on the front line. But you can't forget about the people who are fighting in the trenches, because the trenches are deep and they are everywhere. So the people who are fighting in the trenches are the ones teaching in the schools, teaching in the community centers, pulling the coats of our youth that are out there on the streets, making sure that they understand the forces that are against them, and making sure that we push forward the each one teach one type of regimen. So whether you're fighting on the front lines or whether you're fighting in the trenches, as long as you're in this fight, And you remain in this fight, then we stand a chance of achieving victory one day. And I expect to do this until I close my eyes for the last time. But yeah, I wanted to tell you that I really appreciated you coming through and giving us that Southern history, because, like I said, you know, many people from the North think that our ancestors were soft. And I'm like, you think our ancestors were soft? They stood up. They had balls. If anything, we're soft now. If we're soft now, but I think that one of the biggest problems that we have, and it's pretty consistent, is we keep trying to integrate other people into our movement, hoping that they will help us out. We think that if we help other people out, then they're going to help us out. Well, how's it been working out so far?
No, that ain't gonna work. You're gonna have to come up with your solution, and you're gonna have to. I believe in teamwork, and we had a fantastic super crew. It was no more than five of us, but wherever we went, we had a unspoken language. If something happened to one of us, a family member, whatever, it was automatic coming together. You can see him walking down the street coming, or you see me coming, but we finna get down to the bottom of this thing. And our mentors were the type of men, because something happened one day down here. We had some jitterbugs, and I told them not to do it. They're going to go around the corner and rob this guy. But what they didn't know, that this guy and the man that he was working with was a part of our network. Well, nevertheless, here come these brothers down the road. It's about 109 degrees in the shade, but they got on long trench coats, and they're carrying some heavy stuff. And they cut loose down there, man, and they shot it up down there. But the man that owned the store called the police, and he wanted to know, when they called the cops said, "Do you know who the shooters is?" He said, "Yeah, I know who it is." And they called his name. He said, "Okay." He said, "Just stay behind the counter, and we'll be there." Do you know how long it took the police to get there? Two and a half hours. And after they got there, when they looked at the scene and all this in, they found out and talked with the man in the store, there was absolutely no investigation whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
None. Then he shot one of them. Because the owner of the store son told me, he said the cop know him. He said, "Oh, I know exactly who you're talking about. But those are not dogs. Those are wolves. So we're going to do the best we can, and I'll check this thing out, and y'all just hold it down, and anything else, cop up, call us." But that was the end that day, and it wasn't nothing else, no more. So my advice is, we have to come to the conclusion in our own mind, get our own training, and if you love your family, you have to protect them.
That's right.
And anytime something like that happened in the street, my first question is, okay, well, where's his father, or where's her father? Where are her parents? You know, what are you going to do about it? Because we had a motto. And after I say this, then I'm going to let you go. Our motto was, who done it and where he at? That's it. There were no further questions asked. But anyway, I appreciate you for letting me be on, brother. And keep up the good work.
Well, I appreciate you calling in. I hope that you follow the show after this. But, yeah, I really appreciate you coming in, coming through, and your commentary. God bless you.
Same to you, brother. Take care.
All right. Take care. You too. Man, that's my man throwing down right there. Man, he kept it a buck. That's what I'm talking about right there. That's what I'm talking about right there. We need more and more of that. We need more and more of this. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know about y'all, man. You know, the title of this show tonight is Guilty. What's the title of the show? Derek Chauvin, guilty on all counts. Now what? Yeah, it's a question that we have to ask. Now what? Before, we never had anything like this to go on, so we couldn't really speak about what we were going to do next. It was more like, well, what if this would have happened, or what if this happens? Now that this has happened, is this going to symbolize a new wave? A new wave in politics, a new wave in the justice system, a new wave in the socio-political system that we have going on. I don't know if that's the way it's going to go down. I have no idea if what we experience today is going to roll over into new policy and a new way of doing things. I don't know if this is going to even out the playing field. I think it's too imbalanced at this point for us to try to contemplate that. But everything starts at one, and I will acknowledge that if you get one, you can get another one. Shoot. If you look at sports, your team finally wins a championship. Well, if they won one, they can win another one. The Boston Red Sox went how many years without winning a World Series with the curse of the Bambino? But what happened after they finally won one? They won another one. And they won another one. Well, we can do the same thing. We can do the same thing. It all starts at one. And I guess we have to decide whether we should look at this as a victory for ourselves. What do y'all think? Is this a victory for all of us? Or is this a victory for George Floyd and his family? The family that he has left over. You know what I mean? Many of us have children. And we talk about how we worry about our people, our young people, when they're out there in the world, particularly those of us who have sons. Like, we worry about our sons, our young princes and kings that are out there, because we know that a routine traffic stop can escalate into a casket. We know. And that can happen to any one of us. But one of the things that our Southerner, you know, showed us tonight is that our brothers and sisters down south, they haven't been laying down for the system. They've always fought back. You know, people think that Southern slaves just took their beatings and lashes and shit. Everybody except for Kunta Kinte. What? We did fight back. But we also found out that just like today, when we fought back, we got beat up worse. Because the force of weapons that they had were greater than what we had. And their force and will to win, their strategy was stronger than ours because we weren't united. We had no central focus. We didn't have one thing that we believed in. We have another caller on the line. Caller with the last number, 7019. Welcome to the Daily Go Get a Business Show. Thank you for holding on. What's on your mind this evening? Wait, hold on. Make sure you get the phone situation there. It sounds like you bouncing around over there. You good?
Oh, yeah. Do I sound like I'm bouncing through?
No, you good. It sounds like you were knocking something around over there, earpiece.
It's probably my earring.
Okay.
It's probably my earring. Yeah, so just wanted to mention real quickly that you had mentioned whether it was necessary for him to be found guilty for all three charges. And I was reading something earlier that was saying that depending on the outcome of another officer who also was charged and found guilty in Minneapolis, but he was the Somalian police officer that killed a white woman, an Australian woman, and he got convicted and was served, he got 12 years, 12 and a half years.
Mm-hmm.
But his case right now is on appeal. And he got convicted of third-degree murder. So depending on whether his conviction is upheld or whether it's overturned, could have an effect on whether the charges for George Floyd, police officer, whether his third-degree charge could stick as well. So I think it's good that he got found guilty for all three, because now even if one gets overturned, he'll still have to fees charges for the other two.
Okay.
I mean, due time for the other two.
Okay. Now, that's a jewel that we can definitely use. Yeah, I would imagine that more charges would be better, but I didn't think about it from the appeal aspect. So that is so okay. If he's convicted of all three charges, or if he's convicted of all three counts, I should say, they don't look at that as concurrent. Are they consecutive?
His time will be concurrent, according to what I read.
Okay. Concurrent.
And it won't, like, they only have, they can only, like, you know how some places, they don't have a parole board or anything like that. So whatever time he's given, the only time he could be able to knock off will be a third of his time. So if he's, you know, given 20 years, he'll have to do the majority of that 20 years.
Right. Well, they're saying he could get up to 40 years. Now,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to hold my breath on that one, but shit, I held my breath on this one. So, hey, you know, I don't want to start screaming. Huh?
This is true. I'm just concerned that, you know, I don't want to celebrate too early because mm-hmm. he hasn't been sentenced yet. And, you know, we've been here before, not per se with a police officer, but, you know, people have been found guilty and then, you know, get to the citizen phase and it's only a small amount of time. So hopefully what will happen is, I mean, this judge seems to be fair because, you know, he could have allowed, you know, the bail to stay in place and until sentencing, which is about 4 weeks away, but he revoked his bail as per the defense was, the prosecution was requesting. So it seems as if, you know, he's not on anybody's side. And it seems like in Minneapolis, they have taken the leading role even just prosecuting police officers, because from what I read, it's about maybe, I think I read it, five police officers within the last 5 years that have been convicted in Minneapolis.
Really?
Yeah.
It must be all that cold weather. It was freezing up there.
Yeah.
But I'll take it. You know, it's sad that we have to be cautiously optimistic. Like, we don't get a chance to celebrate too early because we know that the lollipop can be ripped out of our mouths while our mouths are still closed. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yo,
not only that.
Ow,
not only that,
no.
We know that another one is right around the corner.
Right. Right. With him being convicted on all three counts, I think that he's beyond the chance of just getting a slap on the wrist, though. You know what I mean? Like, if he got, like, one, if he was convicted of one and not the other two, or two and not the other one, I would say, yeah, the charges and the conviction sound bad, but he could walk away. He could still George Jefferson walk about this. And what you don't want him to do is be able to George Jefferson walk up out of that courtroom. You know what I'm saying? So, but let me ask you this. Before we get up out of here, let me ask you this. This seems to be the first time that Benjamin Crump was able to get a conviction. I put up a video last night about Tamir Rice's mom talking about how he doesn't even seem interested in getting a conviction. He just wants to make sure you get money.
Mm-hmm.
But with him,
well, wait, was he doing the trial? I didn't look at the trial. I didn't think he.
He was the lawyer. He was the lawyer for the. Now he wasn't part of the prosecution, but he was the lawyer for the George Floyd family. So he's the one who got him paid. But
right, he just does the civil cases. He doesn't. Yeah. He didn't do the criminal case. He did the civil. He did the civil case. He always does civil cases.
But what Tamir Rice's mom was saying was that he's not even interested in justice.
Right, because he's just doing civil cases. He just wants to fight to get the family money.
Well, for him, he considers that to be
that's
justice.
A win for him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, that's not justice for me. You know, and shout out to Tamir Rice's mom. Like, cause she like, shit. She's like, basically, like, fuck all y'all. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I want justice for my baby. I ain't trying to hear that bullshit y'all kicking. Like, she the illest.
Because if you think about it, that has always been, you know, their way of conceding to doing wrong is just to throw a bunch of money at it and hope that people will go away.
Right.
And for up until this point, it has worked. Like, people have been willing to settle because, and not that it's right or wrong, but it, you know, people tend to realize that, you know, the likelihood of a police officer being criminally charged was slim to none. And only up until now have we seen that happen. So, you know, hopefully, since she's held out, if she hasn't put forth any criminal charges, maybe she can do that at this point.
Yeah.
If the times have turned.
What's her name? But yeah. Tamir Rice's mom, she was like, yeah, the LGBTQ, Black Lives Matter and all that. She was like, they don't want no justice. They just moving the money around. She was like, nah, they ain't going to get it. She was like, that ain't going to get it because, first of all, the money is not the thing that is getting us killed, and it's not the thing that's going to stop us from getting killed, you know, and it's not going to bring our family members back, so... You know, that's not what we're leaning on. But I guess for some people, they say, well, you know, everybody's got to go one day, but at least we got these millions. Like, it's crazy. But you know, this Benjamin Crump thing and that type of thinking, you know, like, that's kind of like the problem, the way I see it. We take payoffs. Yeah. We take payoffs to shut the fuck up. Because the problem that is, I see it is if you're fighting to win a civil case, that means that you're not really fighting for justice, which means that you're not really getting involved the way that you really could and probably need to. So you're not going to be out there, you know, saying how you really feel, because you have to hide many of the ways that you really feel. Because it's going to come up in court, like, well, this person is just opportunistic. They don't really, you know, he didn't care about her son or whatever. She's just trying to get this money. You understand what I'm saying? Or
he pretty much has skated through, you know, a lot of these cases, these civil cases, because he already knows that, you know, wherever he goes to fight for these injustices, it's almost a guarantee that, you know, they'll concede and pay some form of amount.
Right.
So it's a win-win
situation.
High profile
cases. He ain't going to lose them, mm-hmm. John. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He ain't going to lose that. People rioting out in the streets. And he's like, you know how you know how they show the NASDAQ? Mm-hmm. You know, they show the ticker tape and shit is just rising. That's him. Like, we about to clean up out this, but I don't know. But like Tamir Rice's mom was saying, that he told her, like, they're not gonna pay an angry mother. And she was like, wow. Like, nigga, what?
Wow.
Like, the fuck? I just lost my 12-year-old son. You talking about something?
Yeah, right. I'm angry.
Yeah, I gotta put on a good face. Get the fuck out of here. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like,
yes, master. Yes, master. Please compensate me.
Pretty much. pretty much. So.
And he pretty much is like, just run and bury. You're going to get this money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You take that position.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's do these birthday shout-outs and get on up out of here. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate me some you. And thanks for the insight about those convictions. I appreciate it. Appreciate you mucho. Mucho. Okay. All righty. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. All right, y'all. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious. April 20th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and make it them feel special because they are special because they are special because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box. Whoopsie Satchel. Happy birthday to you, Whoopsie Satchel. And also Pamela Crawford turning 42 years old today. And Wilhelmina Hicks turning 53 years old today. I like that name, Wilhelmina. And also Elaine Smith turning 53 years old today. And also Penny Vina turning 28 years old today. And Gliator Gatling turning 60 years old today. And she is raising money for Every Town for Gun Safety. Interesting, Gliator. And Donnie McLaurin turning 55 years old today. And last but not least, Anthony Pearson, happy birthday to you. I want to say happy birthday to all of you and anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious. April 20th, 420. Where did he come up with this shit? Worldwide, internationally, and universally, all of y'all go ahead and turn up. Turn up, but don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. Rock out, rock on it, do the dance, the rock out, rock on it, do the damn rock out, rock on it, do the damn thing, and do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings and do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, yo, check this out, Pete Gang. All right, so he's guilty on all counts. He ain't getting out of this. We got to wait about 6 weeks, a month to 6 weeks for the sentencing. Do we have the green light to exhale a little bit? Should we be hopeful a little bit? Should we feel a little bit more optimistic? Is America experiencing a wave of change? Are the little tidbits of change that we have been getting Trump out of office, actually making some policy changes as far as police brutality is concerned, and having a president who is actually bringing some awareness to police brutality and speaking on injustice. And then this, actually getting a conviction for a white police officer who killed a black, an unarmed black man. I guess we still have to ask ourselves, what if this incident hadn't been so widely publicized? What if the video hadn't gone viral? What if we didn't all see it? What if everybody in America hadn't known about it? What if nobody rioted? What if there was no outrage? What if there was no fear of any backlash? What if this was a spliff, we'd all be fucked. If was a fifth, we'd all be okay. I guess we have to deal with the here and now. I'm glad that there was a conviction today. And I'm glad that at least now we can say we got one. We got one. Because if you get one, you can get two. But hopefully, just like I was talking to our Southern brother, hopefully this won't be our MO. Hopefully this won't be what we have to do time and time again. We want to avoid having to get to the legal system. We should be busy getting to the bag, not getting paid because one of us got killed. We should be getting to that bag. Black businesses, black commerce, black manufacturing, black agriculture, black education, black excellence. That's what we need. We shouldn't be fighting in court for justice. We can make our own. That's another topic for another day. I just want to plant those seeds. Man, listen, man, I appreciate y'all coming in and listening tonight. Make sure y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel. Make sure you hit that like button. Make sure that you hit the like button. Make sure. What's that? AO4? AO4K? All right, that's what's up. Thanks for coming through. Yo, peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. I love y'all right back to life. We will be back tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Y'all know how we do. Tomorrow night, and you know how we do. You know how we do. All right. So let me get Blog Talk on the body here. We holla, put the holla back. Holla back. Peace.